Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think it's time for the World Cup ramble.
Oh, been waiting for this.
Oh, haven't we all?
Ages.
As soon as that first ball was kicked, there was a wave of relief around the world. Wasn't there?
I looked down when the first ball was kicked. It was quite confusing. And then I looked up and said, oh, God, I missed the first kick. Really annoying.
Well, that's that ruined. But there's always next time.
Yeah.
As Barry Davis once said at the start of an FA Cup final, I think it was, his words went through my head at the start. Away we go.
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to have had a David Pleat. Good afternoon, everyone.
Yeah.
As well.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it was afternoon, but I prefer the evening ones. Chaps, it's World Cup time, and I must say that James or Jim is here.
Hello.
You've probably figured that out yet. Peter's also here.
Yeah, hello.
Luke completes the tremendous trio.
Happy World Cup, everyone.
Absolutely. And of course, we've teamed up with the good people at manmonth.co.uk.
A celebration of World Cup football, Marcus.
Oh.
Blogs and podcasts and videos, the culmination of Rio Ferdinand street soccer enthusiasts on
there. Get involved
there.
In that.
Manmonth.co.uk. And it's not all about us. You can win some good prizes as well. There is a home cinema system, an Xbox 360 with DJ Hero, PS3, loads of football games. That's all brought to you by the IGN Network and 1 million fragrance for men. All you need to do to enter the competition is pick a number drawn at random between 1 and 1 million, and every week it will be drawn, and you guys can be eligible to win lots of good stuff like that. So get yourself over there. There you go. Pete's got his in. Don't pick 33. Pete's already got that one.
Yeah.
Well, Pete can't enter.
No. He doesn't listen.
I can enter what I like.
Mm.
Or men.
Or men.
Or animals.
All of them.
Enough of that.
All the colours of the rainbow.
Marcus, rescue this.
Well, looks like I'm going to have to again. Chaps,
again.
What's been your moment of the tournament so far? James or Jim, I'd love you to go first.
I'm going to go for Shabalala's opening goal.
What a goal.
There was a nice little moment, apparently. ITV have been reporting from sort of local places in South Africa where they're watching the games, and there was this sort of like community centre, I think it was, where they'd never had a TV in there or anything like that.
Oh, yeah,
finally
I saw that.
Didn't. They showed it on a bed sheet, and this is really lovely. When they showed the replay of the goal, they celebrated again as if it was an actual goal, which is...
You say bed sheet. Now, I'm worried that I've been wasting my money buying an actual TV. Can I get details on how this actually works?
It wasn't an HD bed sheet.
No, fair enough.
Yeah.
So it's probably worth having a TV, but it's a projector.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Is my pillowcase HD ready? That's all I know.
You have a Newcastle United pillowcase.
I do, indeed.
You need a white one to project on.
You don't want to get a bit cheesy or anything, but that is like the beautiful thing about the World
Cup.
It really does unite everyone.
Yeah.
And however irritating Blatter is, it is a good thing that he's taken it to Africa and previously had taken it to Asia as well. It's going around the world like that.
Absolutely, credit where it's due.
Not to Blatter, though.
No, never.
So, Pete, what are you going to go for?
Oh, what, my favourite moment of the World Cup?
So far?
Definitely.
So far?
You know I'm one for a bit of whimsy. the man with the pot on his head.
The Ghanaian fan.
The Ghanaian fan. He had a pot on his head, like a cauldron, it was.
But it actually had stuff steaming in it. It wasn't just like a pot.
He's a practical man.
Yeah, exactly.
But what is that, dry ice soup? I don't know what's in there. What's he keeping in there?
Dry ice flavoured soup.
Maybe it's just a pot full of steam. I don't know how you make that happen.
Did he look hungry at the full time?
He looked very pleased with himself.
Well,
look what I've brought to the party.
Clearly it was a snack.
You hear me?
When Garner scored and he couldn't really celebrate, you could tell he was thinking, I haven't thought this through. I haven't thought this through.
I'm going to spill it.
I should have just eaten before I came out.
Because if I take this pot off my head, I'm a faker. If I leave it on, I can't celebrate.
I'm going to spill chemicals on somebody if I move too much.
That's a good one, Pete. That was an absolute
superb. Maybe traps the T-1000 from Terminator 2 inside it.
You never
could have.
You're getting into the realms of strangeness now.
He went to the game with a pot of steam.
That's
on
true. Actually, yeah. Yeah, he started it.
It's probably the realm of probably not. Yeah. Luke,
I'm going to go for the best touch of the World Cup so far for me.
For you,
Is that they have the ball on a pedestal outside the tunnel, and the referee comes along, and the camera's set up, and he picks it up, and it's almost like he says, let's play ball. It's on.
He does it too fast. He whips it away. I need it to be a little bit slower, possibly in slow motion.
I want him to hold it up in the air. Yeah. And everyone to go,
silently mouthing the words, football.
Yeah. Game time. Something like that.
Yeah.
They probably drop it because the ball's.
Now, you don't want it. You don't want it Hollywood, you want it sort of gladiatorial.
Yeah. Mm,
good word.
Thank you. Well, it's my turn, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Mm. Worst bit of this section.
Someone's not getting the points.
I was going to say, save the best for last, Marcus.
There's a high five. Yeah. We would have given it a big 10, but it's not
as well.
Yeah.
There's no apple. Only in my eye. My moment of the tournament was in the opening game, South Africa versus Mexico. It was when Blanco came on for Mexico.
What was going on?
37 years old and just can't really run.
Can I just say he looks every bit 37
years old? He looks older than
that. He does look older than that. He was on for, 15-20 minutes, and it took him at least 12 or 13.
It was longer for me. So what it was like for him.
Even the setup for the Mexican goal, the pass he played.
It wasn't a pass.
It was
a miscontrol.
It really was. He did pick it up, though, and you could see that he picked out a few passes towards the end, which were lovely balls. But
he looked Sunday League. He looked like the sort of guy you meet sometimes playing Sunday League, and you look at him and you automatically think, he's going to be rubbish. Mm. But he is rubbish in terms of athleticism, but if you put the ball to his feet, he'll spray it all over the park.
Yeah. Well, eventually, he got his eye.
Yeah.
I think he is the ultimate kind of luxury player in one sense, because
he's our Beckham, but much worse.
That's it.
But I remember what I said about Carney a while ago. He's one of those players that's easy to play with because you always know where he is. He's where you last saw him. He's not going to have moved anywhere, but he can deliver a good dead ball. Seriously, he's a real talismanic player for them.
Almost
lifted him.
Did you see what number he
can
wears?
Do no wrong, can he?
Number 10.
He's number 10.
He wears 10. Of course he wears 10.
it's been quite a slow start, hasn't it? That was a good half of football, but it's
the Mexico South Africa game was one of the better games, absolutely. And the goal, the Shabalala goal, was
lovely.
I've got to dish the points out.
Yeah.
The points, without a doubt, are definitely going to
Spain. Go driving on to the last four of the Highland Eye World Championship. Too flashy for my liking.
Controversial.
A controversial
decision indeed.
Can't believe that.
Yeah.
Hope everyone enjoyed that at home.
Yeah.
You didn't miss it for any reason.
So the World Cup is underway, of course. We forgot to mention last week that we have made our own predictions. We've all four of us have predicted who's going to win the tournament, who's going to be Golden Shoe winner,
finalist, goal scorer, losing finalist,
the amount of red cards and the amount of goals scored, and we've sealed them in envelopes, haven't we, Luke?
They've been sealed and they won't be touched until the final show of the World Cup, and then we'll open them up and just see who is the most clueless. That would be interesting to see who comes up.
It's just a bit of fun, isn't it?
I'm a bit worried about the amount of red cards I said for the whole tournament. We're getting around that sort of number already.
Yeah, we've had a couple already, haven't we? We have indeed. England started against the US of America.
Sort of.
And, they played them.
Ten of them did.
They drew 1-1. A lot has been made about Fabio Capello. His decision in not giving his starting 11 until 2 hours before the kickoff. Lots have been made of that. It doesn't surprise me that much. A lot of managers do it. Carragher said in a press conference that Benitez did that for Liverpool.
They're professional footballers.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
They need to be in the mindset, whoever they are, that they're going to start. Because if they then think, I'm not going to start, I think you're going to naturally relax. If you're on the bench and you end up on for some reason,
really quickly, after a minute,
then you're not going to be in that mindset. So I think, it's a good thing. It's an excuse, isn't it, this?
I don't think it's come from the players themselves. It's come from the media just reading too much into things.
I mean, we don't announce the Ramble lineup till about 5 minutes.
No, absolutely not. I mean, as club captain, I feel very confident every time. But I mean, you never know, do you? You know,
yeah.
Someone could come along. We've got a good lot of players in the academy.
Well, yeah. you need to instill the confidence where people may have a delusion that they're a club captain. it's good to foster confidence.
Well, to be fair, though,
after all I've done for you, after the amount of away games I've roomed with you.
To be fair, though, our ace keeper Tom, coming down from Nottingham, he turned up late.
Yeah, he did.
Someone had tails to go and go. I think Pete deputised. You know, you've got to be flexible.
There's not. Look,
I was very upset because he'd slept with my wife as well. So. The little whippersnapper.
Even though you were married. The thing about it is that, you know, if that come from the players themselves, I'd agree with James. It's an excuse and it's a worrying thing to say. But
I think it's an excuse foisted upon them, though.
No, it is, absolutely. It's just come from the media. Don't worry about it too much. Carragher's already come out and said, you know,
I've got no pace.
Yeah, which sort of makes me think, well, Carragher, you should really be used to it. So what was the excuse for that performance?
Yeah. Well, he said he's not used to coming on as a sub.
Against fast players.
Yeah.
He was lucky to stay on the pitch, wasn't he? There was a body check in the second half when he'd already been booked.
He looked very slow.
Against an experienced forward that he would have got him sent off.
Mm. Especially with these referees.
I really would like to see him play Dawson. He's the only one who can run.
Capello obviously doesn't fancy Dawson.
No.
Think he'll go Terry and Upson or
Well, I worry he'll go Terry and Carragher. Because I don't know why Upson wouldn't have come on.
Now King's out. You know.
Yeah. Of course, sorry. Yeah, we just forgot to mention King is apparently out. Maybe of the whole tournament, but we don't know yet. That hasn't been.
The problem with King, I've read, is that when he does get a niggling injury, because his training schedule's so odd, it affects him a lot more than other players. Mm. So he can't work on the injury maybe the way other players would. Right. So a niggling injury like a groin. Well, he's not torn a groin or anything. It's not that serious, but it could keep him out for 3 weeks, which obviously in the context of a World Cup is a long time.
He's such an unknown quantity when it comes to injuries like that. You can't really sort of hang your hat, if you get shin splints, it's going to be 5 weeks. If he gets this, he's going to get that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Let's just hope he can sort of make a heroic recovery.
Well, apparently he felt this after Gerrard scored.
So that's 4 minutes in.
4 minutes into the tournament.
Yeah, Terry said that he told him that he felt it, but he said, can you carry on? And he said, I could carry on.
Well,
but then obviously at half time, it is.
Because he looked over at the bench and thought,
better. Exactly, Terry was like, you're carrying on.
Beckham in his suit, he's going to be terribly upset with me.
Yeah. But Terry said that, you know, he said that he felt that King could continue, and then at half time, obviously turned out he couldn't. But the reason that I say that Capello doesn't fancy Dawson is not just because he didn't pick him for the squad, which I think he did enough to get in the squad. The fact that Capello's chased after Carragher for so long, and then the fact that he brought Carragher on ahead of Dawson, when he knows that Altidore is a fast player.
Well, and also that he's picked Upson in the first place ahead of Dawson in the original squad. You would figure Dawson is way down the pecking order if he's the sort of last inclusion.
Absolutely.
Given the injury.
Marcus is right, though. I mean, against a more savvy, maybe slightly less honest player, Carragher would have walked. He would have walked because.
Well, I don't even think it's to do with that. I think the referee was very, very lenient. Mm. I really do.
The thing is, if Carragher gets booked in the next game, he'll be banned for the third game. Hmm. Anyway, so I mean,
we'll be celebrating in the streets.
Going hard, Jamie.
Which gives us a chance.
I'm sure Carragher will be, you know, again, a backs to the walls, defending deep kind of performance. I think he'd be a great choice.
I just don't want him on the flanks in any sort of capacity. He's just too slow.
Like Pete said to me in the past, and I completely agree with him, his legs are gone. Mm-hmm. It's not a case of he's a young, sort of really classy player with a ball at his feet. His best years are behind him.
And it's not like he can deliver a ball or anything. He's just lumping the field.
This is where we needed to have Big Soul in there.
I'll let you off on that because you've long championed him. And when he gets up ahead of steam, he is rapid as well.
He is. And we would have seen that wonderful thing that the Big Soul surge forward.
Yeah. And he threats from set pieces.
Nearly scored one of the greatest goals in World Cup history when he surged up the park against Colombia in 98. Yeah. He took on about four players.
How could we forget?
And then it was only a slip.
Yeah.
It was only a slip, James. Yeah. And it could have been so glorious.
So fickle is the foot of fate.
Yeah. So, I mean, I won all draw for England. It's not that surprising.
It's not that bad.
I think we even predicted it. I know a lot of people did.
I predicted England to nick it. But
I think I predicted it, but I didn't believe that it would be. It's two different things, isn't it? Sort of.
Sure. Yeah, I suppose.
What was nice about the game, though, is we got to watch it with a lot of our lovely listeners.
Oh, yeah, we did. Drinks. Yes. Yeah, thanks to all for coming along from far and wide.
No, genuine thanks.
Genuinely, some people came as far as like Northwest London.
No, there was a guy who'd come from Dublin.
Yeah,
Manchester as well.
Two great lads from Manchester. One of them sounded a bit like Gary Barlow.
Yeah, and didn't he tell you that people say that a lot as
well? Yeah, I really regret
it, you bully.
I really regret. If it's true, it's true.
Yeah.
I really regret not asking him to sing like Back for Good or something.
Yeah. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. Maybe next time.
Yeah.
It was genuinely good to meet a lot of you guys, though. It was fun.
Yeah. There was a few Americans. Sure, we'll Luke fancied a couple of them.
Yeah.
Kurt Baker and his friend.
Yeah. They were lovely fellas.
Steve Hobbs, Maverick Baker.
His attractive wife.
Oh, yeah,
who knew?
You can't stop talking about his wife.
honestly, Steve, it's not true.
Lord Ramble was there, right? And he had a go at me for something I did in a dream.
Yeah. Well, yep. I don't know what you're thinking, James, to be honest.
Classic girlfriend move there.
Hobbs was wearing his England third kit from the early 90s.
He looked quite tasty. He's got a pound good. Peak next time he sees it.
He looked quite tasty. Yeah.
No, that was apt for a baker.
Yeah. Oh, and James Cox was there.
Yes. He was. Yeah.
Coxie with the England flag. Now, watch out for this.
Yeah.
He's got a great big England flag with the football ramble. Ho!
Yeah. It is massive.
Yeah.
And then the other boys' names, Ant and forgive me for... He's going to be angry. Well, I've forgotten the other one. Forgive me.
The wrath of Cox.
Anthony and Tom are his two mates.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's right. All right. Happy to bow you out.
Yeah, so they're off to the World Cup.
Yeah. And in fairness, though, one thing that's worth mentioning is the fact that there were quite a lot of our American cousins there.
Yeah, there were.
And it was a great atmosphere. It was really good.
It was good.
To go back to the England game, the Robert Green mistake, now obviously a lot's been made of that, especially in the press here, which is pretty predictable. But I found it more annoying that England were inviting the US on so much.
Mm. Yeah. That's why it happened at all.
Because Milner has obviously been ill and they had a bit of a shocker against Donovan, who wasn't obviously marauding down the right-hand side. But England shouldn't be letting the USA... whilst the USA are a better team and a lot to give them credit for, they're great in the sum of their parts. You know, they work hard together. England should still be dictating the tempo and the pace of that game. And they just didn't do that enough, did they?
What also concerns me is that at some point we are going to concede a more conventional goal and we just had no answer to it. There was no sort of real... back to an initial setback. It was,
but do you think that is conceding a conventional goal? There's a certain element of where you can go, okay, fair enough, let's rebuild again. You don't, when it's a goal that's so unexpected, it probably would knock a lot more the wind out yourself.
We're talking about the World Cup, mate. You've got to do that, haven't you? You've got to.
World Cup, yeah.
To be fair, second half England were the better side and created a few opportunities and should have won the game.
Mm.
Should have won the game.
There was a disappointing sort of section again where it came Arsenal. See, that's how frustrating it was.
Yeah. It was almost like watching Arsenal.
Yeah, there were points where the players were sort of passing it around between themselves around the back, and there was almost a sort of you do it mentality. No, you do it. You sort of create something. And there was a point Ashley Cole had the ball. Lennon was marked ahead of him. I think it was Lennon. And he made quite an incisive ball into, I think it was Gerrard, I'm not absolutely sure. And he did have the opportunity to turn on it and actually make something happen. He just knocked it back to Cole. Yeah.
There was not enough, but there was sort of weird sort of bringing Wright Phillips on the left after Milner went, and it just didn't make any sense to me. Because it's not as if Lennon or Sean Wright Phillips were even using their pace to get the byline, because they can't. Neither of them could deliver early. None of our flank players can.
Initially, Cole
can, and he should have come on instead of Sean Wright Phillips.
Well, initially Lennon was causing the US problems with his pace. I think maybe Sean Wright Phillips came on with that in mind to try and double that up. But
Lennon
then the goal went in, and things changed. I think Joe Cole would have been a lot better as he has more dynamism.
Well,
and
he's got more experience.
Happen.
He can carry the ball. You know, he can use the ball. The thing about Joe Cole, right, is he's a type of player that's not scared to give the ball to his mate and ask for it back 20 times in a row.
He wants
until
the ball
until something opens up.
Yeah.
And that's right, Mark, because he wants the ball. And Bobby Charlton always famously said, the best players always want the ball.
You're
1-0 down, 2-0 down, or you're nervous, it's a big game, they always want the ball. And Joe Cole's very much like that.
Jimmy Bullard's like that.
He is.
But he'll run at players. That's the difference. Yeah. Every time it was just playing it back, like keeping it easy. We just looked a little bit nervy, and you know what I mean? It will get better. And some of the decisions, they're a little bit mental, but at the end of the day, it's...
Already ruining the decision not to take Campbell and Bullard.
one final point is that the US are one of those teams that are really hard to break down. They were very diligent, very hard. And England do struggle more against those.
The US had a good game. You know, they're solid, functional, as you say, Luke. So they're no mugs. Algeria lost to Slovenia,
and they are mugs.
hang on a minute. They could, do a job on us on Friday.
The co-commentator made an interesting point about Algeria. Was that he seems to think that, he made a point which I agree with, which Algeria seemed to have reached their zenith in beating Egypt in that playoff.
Yeah.
That was such a high for them. It all seems to be a bit of an anti-climax now, along with their terrible haircuts.
Yeah, like, just almost...
The keeper's
like
hair.
Gun them in the dark.
The keeper's hair is...
Well, the keeper's mistake, Pete. I mean, that was...
Because of his hair.
Not quite as bad as Green's, but...
I think it had more to do with this sort of fictional... I think it had more to do with this fictional sort of idea that the ball kind of is a lot quicker, because I genuinely think that
it
did zip
fictional?
Off... Yes, I think it.
A lot of people have said it.
I think it's just kind of. I think it's upsetting the fact that the ball's not about new technology; it's just about a new sponsor and sort of wanting to get the logo out there and people buying the replicas, etc., etc. But I think the fact that it did bounce in front of them and it does zip off the ground quite.
It does.
It seems a little bit quicker than.
Interestingly enough, I've actually had a little go on one of the balls.
Oh, have you? Oh. Yeah, yeah. A few keepy ups.
Yeah, that's it. It's fine.
Felt fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Marcus Speller.
Did you break your record of 12?
Yeah. No, I didn't. It was too round for that. But it is the roundest ball of all time or something.
Apparently, one of the things to take from the whole ball debate is that it's about much more than the ball. See, I've noticed that it bounces a lot. There's too many misjudgments of
the bounce.
Is it
much more than a ball?
Exactly. It's rounder. It's too many misjudgments of the ball's bounce for it to be a coincidence. So that's either the surface or the ball. And then look at the mistakes that Green made, which I actually think was probably a concentration error rather than the ball moving. And the Algerian keeper's mistake as well. It makes you wonder whether it's the altitude and the air's a bit thinner, so all that sort of stuff could be taken into account as well. And I just don't think it does the sponsors any harm at all for everyone to be talking about the ball all the time like Pete said.
We've said before on this show that why don't they just use the ball they use in the season and rebrand it?
Yeah. It's not the time to... The same way that the World Cup isn't the time to launch new referee initiatives, it's not the time to launch a new ball.
It's your flagship event. You shouldn't have to
be... It should be
good. You shouldn't be dicking around with stuff.
It should sell itself, shouldn't it?
Because it happens every single time. There's always debate about the ball.
There's always a worry. There's always debate about the ball. There's always sort of like these sort of rules that I think they're going to bring in and stuff. Just shtum, right? You've decided who's going to be actually playing in the match months before.
Yeah.
You've decided where it's going to be
the ref.
Almost decades before.
Yeah.
It just seems weird that that we're making decisions on.
Concentrate on getting the ceremony right.
Yeah.
Whether it's with a massive dung beetle or not.
So I didn't see anything in Slovenia or Algeria to affect England.
Silly sending off for Algeria.
Crazy, absolutely crazy.
Did you see, we mentioned the opening game, South Africa versus Mexico. Good opening game, great goal from South Africa, of course. Also on the first day of the tournament, there was Uruguay 0, France 0. Certainly not a pulsating 0-0.
A turgid affair.
I'm upset that you've brought this up. I have to think about
it. It's a horrible memory for
me. It was a shame because a few of my friends who aren't interested in football, yes, a few have slipped through the net. they were at work for the first game and they said, we're going to watch some of the World Cup, and that was the first game they saw.
Oh, no.
It's the last thing you want.
Yeah.
The thing about that, the big talking point with that game for me was that Lodeiro, Ajax's Lodeiro, who was tipped by a lot of people to be a good young
South
player.
American football.co.uk tipped them on a blog, didn't they?
Having a big tournament. And the thing with the group stages, he's been sent off, possibly unfairly. I mean, I know a couple of you boys think that the second challenge was probably worthy of a red.
Not surprised Uruguay are getting the first.
Absolutely. But that could be his World Cup over now, because he'll miss the second game and they might be out by then. So it's so quick.
See, on paper, that should be a great game with Forlan and Suarez up front and the players the French have got. I mean, Gourcuff didn't really get in the game. It's disappointing. Ribery was very sort of just running down a lot of blind alleys. I mean, Tulalan was a standout player for me. I mean, when you're sort of defensive midfielder as the standout player, it tells you a big story.
He had quite a lot of joy on the right, Tulalan, when he moved over to there. They just look so subdued. They know Domenech is leaving. They obviously don't respect him very much, despite him getting into the final and being the longest serving manager. Yeah, exactly. Which would be a bonus. A bit of light relief in those times when you're feeling down after a long day.
That's it.
You know, it's not happening for them.
Just Fontaine, the French legend, was he's been having a pop.
Was it
particularly at Nicola Anelka, as John Motson might say, Pete. Yeah. What would you say to that?
I'd say, Motson, back in your box.
Nothing to just.
Back in your commentary box.
I just think it was Anelka's never been that sort of player to lead the line like he was expected to do against them. I'd find it weird that he was sort of isolated up there to a certain extent. Nobody really had a great game. Nobody came away from that match with any sort of
glory. In particular, I thought very unambitious. I expected more going forward from them.
Forlan got a lot of the ball, but I mean, he just didn't have anybody to sort of lay it off to. It was a weird match.
One other game, there was a few games on when we had the drinks, but most prominently, Argentina 1, Nigeria 0.
And I'm happy again.
It's a good header from Heinzer.
It was, who
apparently plays loads more games than he should due to his lack of ability as he gets older, because he's apparently a really scary bloke.
Is that right?
That's what people have told me, yeah.
Wow.
funnily enough, before we talk about Argentina, Dixon Atu of Fulham said that Nigeria kind of shot themselves in the foot, really. They had a lack of altitude training in the run-up to this game. They'd been the Nigerians were training in Durban, which is sea level, and the match was taking place in Johannesburg.
That's interesting, because I know that during the Copa Libertadores and the World Cup qualifying in South America, what teams try and do, because they haven't got time to do the 2-week acclimatisation thing, they take the team up at the very last minute, play the game, then come back again, so the altitude doesn't affect them as much. Obviously there's no opportunity to do that during the World Cup because you're there for ages, but that is a massive error. Yeah. That's I don't know if you've ever been anywhere with altitude, but it's crazy. It's
like it is.
You get lightheaded, you can't catch your breath, and it will affect even top athletes, you know? I mean,
yeah. Well, more so, because they're doing something far more physical, aren't they?
And England went to Austria, first of all, before they even came out to South Africa. Yeah.
Well, John Terry was saying it's your mouth just goes dry like 5 minutes in. You really have to acclimatise to it.
Maybe, like, there's just not enough room at...
for
everyone.
But they don't have to go to the same mountain.
They've got a train up in a plane or something.
Well, Dominic Ashton did tie up a mountain, didn't they? So.
Yeah.
He did, yeah. And who's laughing
good,
now?
And a good initiative it was, James.
Who's laughing now? Not us.
But back to Argentina, Messi was thwarted by the goalkeeper.
He was, but he did have a great game, though, didn't he?
Yeah, it was good to see him, actually.
I think people are waiting for him to disappoint. They're really sort of perched.
Sharpening the knives.
Yeah.
A little bit of silliness as well, people saying, oh, well, Maradona's jealous, so he's not going to play him, and
I've actually thought there was a bit of mind in that when I first heard that. I don't know if there is now, because I think that, having thought about it, Maradona puts the importance of Argentinian glory, because he's so passionate about everything else, and I respect that now. But I did think, oh, you never know, he's a bit of a funny character.
Well,
I think
the real star so far of the World Cup is Diego Maradona.
It was always going to be.
And
he did a lot of running, didn't he?
He loved it. You said to me, look, when he was in that wonderful grey suit and the trim beard, you was like, scenes.
Yeah. Someone said he looked like Jim Royal.
But we're going to. Yeah.
I just noticed how he's got a lot of material to get round him.
It's
definitely a double breasted suit that they've modified.
Pay by the meter and those sort of talents.
Look, are we having a bit of Diego watch?
I'll do Diego watch.
In Diego corner.
Yeah. I couldn't be any happier.
Well, what's he been up? Go on then.
Well, last Wednesday, you guys all saw, I think, that he was which would be fine if this was just a bit of fun at the end of a training session, when he was getting half the team to boot footballs at the other team's arses.
Yeah, the losing team from the game, wasn't it, in training?
But I sort of think that Diego thinks this is like a pretty serious, progressive training initiative.
Yeah.
You know, teach of bravery or something.
Next up, crossbar challenge.
Exactly, yeah. And then, so that was good. Saturday spawned the best headline of the World Cup so far.
Do it.
Which was, FIFA to investigate after Diego is targeted by laser. Which makes you sort of think of a Bond villain.
Yeah. It was a sort of big green laser, wasn't it, in case the Nigerian fans just wanted to make it very clear
It was quite worrying, though, that it was such a big laser when it got to the pitch. And does it get bigger? Did he have some sort of, like, magnification device? It just seemed like that if that was the point of the laser, that must have been about the size of a horse or something. Maybe a horsey laser.
Maybe it was a sort of signal from Diego's home planet, you know.
Yeah.
We're coming
it was
you.
No, what happened was every time that happened they had to make a sub. But you know,
someone said that, weren't they worried, how did this get through security?
A Ghanaian fan got through with a pot on his head. Which I think was probably more sort of prevalent. Yeah. But that was good. And then on Saturday after the game, he appealed for fair play. This is Diego Maradona again, and begged FIFA to not abandon the little boy.
No, don't do it.
No.
What?
They're always abandoning little boys.
Stop abandoning little boys.
I'm choosing to ignore it. That's probably been lost in translation. For the lols. There'll be more of that every show.
Should we call it Diego Maradona lols?
Yeah.
we could do a daily update on this. Obviously.
And so that's the Diego lols for today.
Good. He also, before the kickoff at Argentina Nigeria, he went round the pitch with the front page of a newspaper with his face on it, just sort of holding it up. I think he is loving it.
We need a Curb Your Enthusiasm style series just based on his life.
Of him, yeah, that'd be amazing. Oh. Did he actually do that?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I saw him.
That's amazing.
Have you speaking of Argentina? Did you see the World Cup Dream Team? They polled all the Sun readers. The Sun got involved and polled all their readers. Who's the favourite? Basically, who would feature in your World Cup Dream Team?
Yeah.
Right. So
is it all England players?
Well, goalkeeper Buffon.
Fair enough.
Right,
okay.
Fine. Ashley Cole, John Terry.
Oh.
But they're all English players. They all play in England, basically, apart from Buffon and Messi and Kaká. But it's like Vidic, Evra, Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, Joe Cole, Wayne Rooney. I mean,
Joe Cole's not even starting for England.
It's ridiculous.
That's two left backs as well.
I saw that and I thought that is
amazing. It's to be expected, though, isn't it?
But I mean, is it though? Because I mean, even when you're right, if you've taken the time to text it in or email it in or write it down,
the Sun just say, "Well, the English public are clearly morons, so
we come up with our own one
that served that purpose."
Oh dear. Also in Maradona's group, I'm going to call it, South Korea beat Greece 2-0.
Good performance from them. They started well. They were one of the only ones not to seem to have, like, almost be hung over when they were playing.
No, they looked good.
Park took his goal well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Do you think that
Greece were appalling?
Do you think with the pace and the way they move the ball, South Korea, they could cause Argentina problems? Because Argentina lack pace and skill at the back.
There's one thing that's going to happen is that Argentina will leave the back door open. And I think against a more sort of a team with more cutting edge than Nigeria, they might struggle. And I think South Korea could run them ragged. I think South Korea will also beat Nigeria as well.
In saying that, though, Argentina 1-0... you know, doesn't really show.
No, absolutely
story.
Not.
They could have scored a lot more.
But they don't really help themselves. They put Jonas Gutierrez, a left winger, at right back, for crying out loud. It's not the...
Well, he is right footed.
Yeah, but I mean, he plays most of his football for everything
you
on
can't
the left-hand
tell me
side. You can't say that he's the best right back in Argentina.
Exactly. There's not a right back in Argentina. So you've got to play a left winger there. Come on, that's silly. And not even, I mean, with respect, Pete, the greatest of respect, he's not the greatest winger in the world. You know?
He's a championship footballer.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Soon to be Premier League, then. Yeah. Moving on, Serbia versus Ghana. Ghana won 1-0, and Jan dedicated his goal to the whole of Africa.
See, I love that. This is what I love about this World Cup being in Africa. It's great. There's such a sort of unity between them.
It's a bit silly, though. I understand if Ghana were the only team in Africa there, then fair enough.
No, but it's a far more united continent with such like this than Europe, where everybody hates everybody.
Yeah. Fair enough.
You know? Right. So, yeah, you can't even begin the two. South America as well is similar to Africa in that
Ghana,
sense.
Ghana look decent. They've got a couple of players that play in Moscow. Imagine being Ghanaian and play for Lokomotiv Moscow for Ghana.
Quincy, who used to play for Arsenal, plays for them, doesn't he?
He does, he's done the rounds. He has, Quincy. Yeah.
Mensah was excellent. Absolutely. Super. Immense.
Groan.
I thought Serbia flattered to the sea. They've got a lot of talented young players, but I thought they seemed to let the occasion get to them a little bit as well.
Chris Coleman actually said that Zigic had a nice touch for a big
man. I saw that, yeah.
Ghana's got a Serbian manager, haven't they?
Yeah.
I don't think many African nations have taken an African manager.
Well, Algeria have, No, you're right. Cameroon and...
certainly not anyone subs of home in Africa, no.
Côte d'Ivoire, South Africa.
Which is one of those things which you think that's a bit annoying. Because,
especially
because
it's an African. Why bring Sven in, for example?
Well, Côte d'Ivoire, if we're going to call them by their proper name, an African helped them qualify. So they changed it.
That's a real, real shame. But hopefully they can pass on their knowledge and this will be sort of a rarity in the future.
But we've had 20 years, 30 years of decent African football.
Absolutely. Sven Göransson will take his cash and he'll be off again.
But wouldn't it be nice to Sven sort of go, no, I'm not going to have 3 months paid work. Yeah.
Do
you want him to stop breathing in oxygen?
No,
as well?
I just want him to only at altitude. I want him to sort of go, no, I believe that and take a stand. I don't believe it should go to a Swede.
Sorry, Pete, just to reiterate, this is Sven Göran Eriksson we're talking about. The man whose sole existence is driven by money and sometimes women.
Yeah. And not having to do that much, as we know. So it's perfect, really. Dear. I've got an email about Sven, actually.
Go on.
Hola Rambleros. I was working one summer at the Estadio Universitario in Mexico City doing shit work.
he makes it sound like an actual job.
Yeah.
Like that's the job title. What are you doing? Shit work.
Until one day, to my surprise, I see the Mexico manager sitting in a dugout watching the Pumas team training. I, like most Mexicans, thought this guy was a bit of a joke, so obviously I had to get a better look. I got a bit closer and thought to myself, he looks a bit patchy. It didn't occur to me that there was an actual Sven impersonator. So I went about my job for a while until I saw him again, this time with two hot, seemingly hired women at his sides. When I saw this, I knew for
for sure it was Sven.
Which is very strange.
Yeah. Later that day, I saw on the news that a Sven lookalike had been in town. To say the least, I was very disappointed, yet I thought it was quite hilarious myself. Ramble on. That's from Mark in Texas. Thank you very much, Mark.
I take it this is when he was manager of Mexico.
Yeah, you'd hope.
Yeah.
How many, like, impersonators has Sven got? They've probably got a union. There's so many of them.
I wouldn't mind, but he's not like the sort of person who's that normal looking either.
No,
maybe that, like, maybe that helps it.
Not amongst a lot of Mexicans. No.
Exactly. The only person I can think of in the public eye that's ever had like an army of lookalikes is Saddam Hussein.
Yeah. That was so they got shot instead of him. I hope they were on good money.
Sven's got a lot of women to look after, so maybe
they wouldn't have been on good money as Sven.
That's very true.
How strange. Thanks for that. That's a good email.
Also, you mentioned Serbia versus Ghana.
Sorry, in the Serbia game, what was the defender doing?
After the handball.
Punching the ball. Crazy. So late on as well.
No need for it. Absolutely no need at all.
That's a droppable offence in my book.
The Prince, Boateng.
Yeah, he played well.
It was a good game.
I think that was a competitive debut for Ghana. He played excellently well. He ran the show, I thought. He looked at home. And it's a big stage. But to be fair, I think he's the sort of player that loves himself. I mean, if he's made of chocolate, he'd eat himself, wouldn't he?
I loved John Pansil, quite the opposite of that.
Or Panstil, as his shirt says.
I keep getting his name wrong. Yeah. Pansil's not even his name. His name is Paintsil, but it's always been spelt wrong by the Ghanaian FA, apparently. So, look, by the end of the tournament, it's going to be Spantlin. Isn't it?
It's good to see a pie.
A pie, absolutely. Yeah. I like the fact that sorry, mate, to cut him. I like the fact that the Ghanaian manager went for the younger sort of players who helped him do so well in the African Cup of Nations and through qualification. Sort of, because they've got players, as we all know, like Apaya, who Pete mentioned, and Mentari, who are really experienced.
Yeah, they're only like 20, and he's only 28 or something, isn't he? There's only like two players that are over 30.
I like the look of that Anan. I think he's a great looking player. He's really small. People are comparing him to Michael Essien, but I think he's a little bit smaller and a little bit more dynamic than that. He's obviously not as good as Essien.
I loved it when John Pansil, after the game, you know, when he does a lap of honour for Fulham.
Did he do that?
He did a lap of honour with a Ghanaian flag running around the pitch.
That is just
great stuff.
Brilliant. He's a quality bloke, is John Pansil. Yes. And other footballers could bloody learn a thing or two from him.
Absolutely.
Germany beat Australia 4-0.
Standard. Germany are like the first team that are just, right, here we are, let's go for it. Because it has taken a while to get going, hasn't it? It's still kind of clicking into gear. I think it's always the second round of games where it's the business end of the groups and it really gets great. But Germany have done us all a favour, I think.
You're a fan of Podolski at international level.
Well, I didn't realise this. Podolski's got 39 goals at international level. I think he scored two for Bayern Munich.
Cologne, hasn't he?
He really has, but he just keeps producing for Germany.
A lot of those players
closer
to the same.
Internationals.
Yeah, well, closer to the same. They're like the opposite to England.
Close is a lot older, though, isn't he?
He is, yeah, but what I mean by that is that they all seem to overperform for their nation and then don't perform for their club, whereas in England it's completely different.
Well, Klose and Podolski's got a great partnership.
They have.
A
Polish partnership.
Really sort of varied set of options in that team as well. Yeah. Ozil was fantastic. Schweinsteiger was very good as well.
Unrivaled resource Opta Joe said that it was actually the best performance from Germany in terms of pass percentage completion since 1966.
Wow.
So that's how good it was. I mean, I do think that Australia let them play a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that when they had the players sent off, were they 2-0 down at that point?
2-0 down, yeah.
I mean, it was made it obviously a lot easier for Germany, but Germany were popping it about really nicely, almost like a Spain-esque. It wasn't just a functional, efficient display. Yeah. I mean, four different scorers carved them open countless times. Yeah. Australia played a very negative formation.
It
was men against Socceroos.
It was a shame for Tim Cahill.
Fergo, he literally mullered it.
Cahill, I thought, was a harsh sending off.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I actually thought it was quite dangerous, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Australians, mate, I've got an email.
Your animals have all got sensible names.
I've got an email from a man by the name of Richie.
Go on, Richie.
Rumblefoss, ho. I'm English and have been living in Brisbane, Australia for around 18 months. I've been looking forward to the World Cup for a while, as it was going to give me a chance to remind every Australian I know how shit they are at football. Instead,
a noble pursuit.
Australian TV is decided to show me how shit they are presenting football. On Australian TV, Craig Foster of ex-Pompey and the Crystal Palace fame is seen as the main man, the big man.
That is rock bottom.
He is the only analyst in the studio and sees himself as Hanson, Lawrenson and Andy Gray, etc., rolled into one.
Wow.
He's a shit pundit. Another S word. Unbelievable.
He's not messing around.
He's not, is he? He's a rubbish pundit and appears to know little about the game. The breaking point came on the first day of the World Cup when there was a show about the Qantas Wallabies, the Australian football team.
I think I've seen this.
Australia.
It was brilliant.
Yeah. That involved John Travolta, for it is he, flying to South Africa in his Qantas jet to meet the players. The low point of this feature was when Travolta invited Tim Cahill to join him in pretending to do some kind of traditional African dance holding a football. Foster thought it was the greatest thing in the world, and no one seemed to mention that Travolta isn't even Australian and is generally a bit weird. Even Tim Cahill seemed to enjoy the seemed to enjoy the experience. I'd like to see him and Travolta do the same dance in a Liverpool nightclub and see if they get the same reaction there.
So would I.
Anyway, just thought I'd let you know that there may be a job going for you all on Australian TV, and somehow in some countries even ITV looks good. Keep it gangster, says
Richie. I've heard Australian sort of TV is quite relaxed in general, isn't it? Imagine the football punditry's just got loads of swearing in it. They're all just drinking as they do it.
I can remember when I spent a bit of time over in New Zealand and they had Australian TV there.
Finding yourself?
Yeah. Australian and others. They had an Australian Rugby League show there called The Footy Show, and it's just like I suppose it's a bit like Soccer M, but it's for Rugby League. And at one stage there was this sums up Australia so well. At one stage there was a ban in Rugby League of fighting. So you used to be able to fight and so this TV show started a massive like nationwide campaign called Bring Back the Biff, and everyone wear t-shirts and Bring Back the Biff on it until they brought fighting back. Wow. I'm not sure if I actually did it because I left before then, but that sums up Australian broadcasting. Yeah. But brilliant. John Travolta is a ambassador for Qantas. That's why he was involved.
Strange.
And Richard the emailer says that Tim Cahill was enjoying it. He looked really awkward. He looked like he had been invited by an uncle at a wedding who he doesn't really like very much to dance with him in front of everyone. It's probably why he got sent off.
Sing your song.
It must be the only reason.
Yeah.
Dragging it back to the football, with regards to Germany, Tim Vickery said an interesting thing recently in his blog. He said that it's going to be interesting to see how one or two of these teams deal with the euphoria that
the German players
with a great win and a great start like that, because he said pacing tournaments is normally a traditional German strength, whereas this team, quite a young team, and you know, with a great start like that, it's going to be interesting to see how they manage that situation, and perhaps Argentina as well.
Yeah, I didn't really want England, and it's easy to say now, I don't mean it sort of being reactionary about it, but I didn't actually want England to smash the US into the out of the that'd have been a terrible thing.
And
to
look
happen.
At it like this, it was a fantastic result for us.
Exactly. Yeah.
I do sort of worry that what if USA get a really decent result against somebody, then we're just, you know, we could end
trouble.
Up in Germany.
Not on that performance. We don't want look. Australia did let them play, but you're playing like Richard Garcia up front on his own, who's like a right winger of a hole, with KO just behind him, who then gets sent off. They're almost set up like six in midfield.
Very true. But James, do you take the point of what Vickery's saying here? You know,
I know, absolutely. I mean, Italy traditionally starts slowly. I think when we've had our best sort of showings in World Cups, we've always started slowly.
Show that.
Show that, my hobby.
Get him in.
Wow. You do have to pace it, don't you? Because it is. There's so much more to it than there is in anything else you're ever going to experience. It's such a huge thing. Every single moment of your life while you're a player out in that tournament is to do with the World Cup. You've got to get your head right, you've got to get your body right, you've got to acclimatise to whatever the place you're living in is. You know, if you're a young player out there for a month away from sort of everybody you know, it's a difficult thing.
That's right. That is just some of the tips in the James or Jim Campbell handbook.
But it's worth saying, because the point, I think the key point about what Vickery says is the fact they've got young players. Now, they've not experienced the World Cup before, and they smash Australia around, and they think, this is all right. And they come up against Ghana, who are really athletic and probably quite a good team.
The German press is very similar to ours as as well.
Build is well
Build
known
is
for it.
Essentially,
yeah.
the Sun, isn't yeah. it? Yeah. And they're going to be going absolutely crazy over that result, and they've got to keep their feet on the ground.
But the front two have been there and seen it.
Of course, they've got experienced players as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Although they would probably cope with having an experienced head, maybe Jens Lehmann around the camp. Who knows?
They missed him.
Holland have started well, 2-0 against Denmark.
Yeah,
yeah, an Agarang goal. Mm. Can I say agony?
Good.
Hit me up.
All right.
Cheers.
Good to see Thomas Sorensen in goal after dislocating his elbow, and it was a real doubt for the tournament.
One of the good guys, Sorensen. I think we can.
Denmark look decent in patches as well. I think
they've got good. They've got some good players. Group. Good players. It's a tough. Other than I think Holland will walk it, but other than that, it's difficult to see who else will go through.
Cameroon. Poor result for them. League
yeah, Japan. Yeah,
yeah, very much so. One of the prominent things in the World Cup from South Africa has to be the Vuvuzela. And we've all got an opinion on it. One local. Well, the organising committee chief executive, Danny Jourdain, said that he would continue to monitor their use and that a ban could be enforced if there were grounds to do so.
This is surely if someone like. Sticks a grenade in it and chucks it on the pitch.
Yep.
You could launch a grenade with that. Like a trebuchet.
That would be grounds to do so.
I don't think they will. And the reason why it won't be banned is because I've heard from quite a number of different people that they're selling FIFA branded ones out.
Oh, are they?
So if FIFA are clearing £4 or £5 a throw, they'll probably be happy with that.
Well, it's part of South African football. You know, the World Cup.
Of course.
Moves
I don't
around
the FIFA because, seller at all.
You know, that's how it is. We've got to accept that. It's just the way they
celebrate. It's not that bad anyway.
No. The England bander is bad.
Yeah.
That was really hard to say.
It was, yeah, fair enough. Hard to listen to as well.
Seth Blatter on his Twitter this morning did just sort of say, well, how would you like it if we banned something that you hold dear? I was like, well, you already did. We like hooliganism.
Yeah. How would you feel if we banned your hors d'oeuvres? Yeah. You went like that. No, but seriously though, I think the Vuvuzela is absolutely valid. I haven't got a massive problem with it personally, but the fact that someone's come out from FIFA and said that when I know they're selling FIFA branded ones, it's just completely disingenuous.
Pete, didn't you say you couldn't monitor change your TV settings?
Yeah, there's a couple of like tips. If you've got a Samsung telly, you can sort of mask a lot of the noise out but still keep a little bit of tilt.
Can you get rid of the commentary now?
Well, yeah, by sort of if you sort of drop out the mid in the noise, I don't know.
Geeks.
I know on the BBC as well you can press the red button and get the radio commentary. I don't know if it's
going to be worse, surely.
It's picking up the Vuvuzelas on that.
Where's the Barry Davis button?
Exactly.
I don't know, that'd be great.
A Barry Davis Vuvuzela.
Yeah. Pat Bonner.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Even that after a while would get annoying.
No, it wouldn't.
But imagine hundreds of them.
I told Pete to get one of his sound effects CDs, just of crowd noise. Yeah. To tell it, just put that on.
Just do the commentary yourself.
Yeah.
And press buttons when it's a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in a pub once in England play at a major tournament.
Oh, you're old.
And
I worked in a pub. Oh, look at me, I've got a pub. It's pathetic.
And, well, enough of you. And when it was England versus Germany in Euro 2000, and when England won 1-0, and right towards the end of the game, when it was all nervy, fingernail biting times.
England.
Yes. One of the German players, I forget who, hit a shot and it went wide. And the DJ was at a soundboard, and all you heard boom across the pub was.
That's a touch.
Not bad. It's not a Barry Davis Vuvuzela though.
No.
I think that would be great though if a shot went wide or there was a mistake like Rob Green.
Yeah.
Imagine that in the whole stadium as it dropped in and all you hear is oh!
Feel like a home from home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what we want. Luke, finish this whole rabble off with an email. Just to say, ladies and gentlemen, that we're not having the Dean Windass Hall of Fame while we've got the World Cup ramble on. We will
too much else to get in.
We will be bringing it back.
Well, truth be told, actually, Marcus, Dean Windass has been piping up about image rights and that, so I'm not sure. If we get it sorted out, we'll sort it afterwards.
I think maybe we should nominate someone from this World Cup to go in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. We should do that as the first one back.
That's a genuine, spontaneous idea. Yeah. That's brilliant. I'm happy with that.
Imagine that.
Marcus seems reluctant, though.
No, I'm not reluctant.
I've never seen one in the wild, a genuine, spontaneous. I know what it looks like.
Exactly. No, that's a great shout. If someone really sets it on fire, then maybe we should stick him in there. Blanco. He's done enough in the game. Get him in there. But anyway, let me finish off with an email then.
Go on, old sports.
Ramaphosa Hall. So the World Cup has flaming well started. It's football all day, every day. Unless, like me, you're a school teacher. I'm a design and tech teacher, and we do have internet in class, and we also have a big screen projector. It's so tempting to send them home at 1:30. I take it he means the kids. I want to watch this World Cup, not just the England matches, but every single moment. So my brace of a question is this: what are the viable excuses to get the BBC iPlayer up and watch this bloody World Cup live in class? And also, how would you keep 20 11 year olds quiet so they don't ruin my games? Best of luck. Cheers, Dean.
Do you know?
Quit your job.
Yeah. Seriously, Jim did do that.
Maybe, like, just Thatcher took away the milk. Yeah. You bring the milk back. Yeah. Warm, laced with sleepy tablets.
Oh. You're suggesting you poison the children, are you? Probably?
No, no. Put night on.
He's just
in their
bitter
drinks
about Thatcher since she shut down with the Hovis mines.
Hovis mines. Yeah. I think it's, I think, to be honest, he should. What are the kids going to thank
him
for?
It's design, isn't it?
He's got to go down the design route for this. Mm. I think while the game's on, kids, design your own stadium, or even the design of the ball.
Yeah,
yeah. The ball's a good shot.
Probably do a better job.
In fact,
everyone hates it.
Dean, that's your challenge. Get your kids to come up with a better ball than the Jabulani ball.
If all else fails, though, do you want to be remembered as that horrible teacher that no one liked? Or do you want to be the teacher that brought World Cup 2010 to absolutely those children? They're 11 years old. That's going to be their football awakening.
Yeah, yeah.
That's far more important than anything you can learn in design and tech, which, frankly, that is a bit of a joke subject.
That is a life lesson.
Harsh.
Very harsh.
That's a life lesson, though, isn't it? It's a good thing to have. And maybe just deny it. If, say, your head teacher comes in going, "Oh, I haven't got the football on," you're having a stroke.
What you want to do is maybe get one of those bed sheets.
Yeah,
and project it on there, and then just say you're
HD
designing
bed sheet.
Yeah.
HD bed sheet.
And then when someone comes, what are you doing? Well, we're designing a new television bed sheet
made of bed.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to think through it a bit more.
You are, mate.
He's a design tech teacher.
Yeah, you give him an idea, and then he does
design
the
an idea up. Yeah.
Technology is telly.
It's technology and telly.
Mark has rescued this.
put us out of our misery.
Dear, oh dear. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of it. The end of the show, rather.
The end of
we're not ending it all.
It's not that bad.
The end of further education as we know.
If you'd like to get in touch, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com. And remember, we will be going, well, we are now twice a week, Monday and Thursday, for the rest of the World Cup. The shows will be coming out on a Monday evening and a Thursday evening, and we will be doing Ramble Extra on 442.com. So,
and let's not forget manmonth.co.uk. That's where a lot of our shenanigans are going to take place. The videos, the blogs.
My blog.
Yeah.
There's
some nudie pictures of Luke up there as well. Something for everyone.
I don't remember authorising that, but fair enough.
Good stuff. It's, of course, brought to you by IGN and 1 Million Fragrance for Men. Sorry about that, Marcus.
He seems to quite like it.
Marvellous happenings. Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye, James or Jim.
Say goodbye, Pete.
That was my vuvuzela goodbye.
Poo-poo-zella.
And say goodbye, Luke.
See you Thursday, listeners. Bye.
It's goodbye.
I'm nice to them.
It's also goodbye from me. We're all off to monitor Diego. Cheers.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.